So if you could just start out, I guess by I'll ask you a little bit about just how you're feeling under this current pandemic that we're facing here in this country.
I personally am feeling great. Thank God. Me and my family are doing well. We got two little ones, and it's been the good news is I've been able to spend more time with them than I have in an awfully long time. I think even after just a couple of days of very much reduced activity, you're starting to feel the walls closing in on a two-year-old and a four-year-old that are pinballs bouncing off of them. But other than that, we're doing great.
Sure. Talk a little bit about what is happening in your current campaign in response to this crisis.
So we suspended the campaign temporarily announced that about a week ago. Because as anybody at the moment, and I think certainly any public official, the safety and security of the people of Massachusetts has to be your number one priority. And we have been running a very aggressive retail-oriented campaign. That's a lot of handshakes, a lot of fist bumps, a lot of high fives, and a lot of hugs. And you can't do that right now. You got to make sure that you're taking care of people, your volunteers, people on our campaign, and obviously everybody else. And given the concerns around the virus and the very real threat that it poses, didn't feel appropriate to continue to run a campaign. So we've suspended it. We are still using the platforms associated with the campaign, our social media platforms, to try to get information out and about and inform people as to what's going on, what the latest information is, and how to stay safe and what they need to do. And so we'll keep doing that, but all the communication will be basically related to the virus and what people need to do to stay healthy. We're still doing some of my official obligations as a member of Congress. So just announced a big recovery package focused on American workers and families. And we'll continue to keep in touch with and touch base with people, healthcare providers, first responders, and citizens around my district and around the state as the job requires. And I think is exactly what we need to be doing right at the moment, making sure that people get access to the treatment that they need when they need it. And when there are challenges with that we're stepping up and doing everything we can to make sure that our healthcare providers can treat everybody.
How would you kind of assess or rate, if you will, the current administration's response to this pandemic?
So I'm relieved that the administration, I think, has in the past 24 hours started to recognize the severity of this crisis. I think the president and his administration have started to recognize that this is a public health catastrophe that could lead into a financial disaster. Look, I wish they recognized that literally months ago, because while the details of this crisis might have been difficult to predict, the fact that that there would be a pandemic was not. There were personnel set up in an Obama administration to deal with it on the basis of and learning the lessons from Ebola and SARS and MERS and H1N1. And if you talk to almost anybody that was focused on global threats, focused on the threats to our society and our systems, they would have said that a global pandemic is one of the greatest ones out there, which is why we actually had personnel in institutions like the National Security Council focused on pandemic and pandemic response. It's why there was investments made in our government to actually try to coordinate an international architecture around early intervention and information sharing and ensuring that people could respond and institutions, nations could respond to this as needed and as necessary. And that was not a priority for this administration. They fired those folks, cut those positions, and tried to save that money, which is the equivalent of not building in fire hydrants because you don't think you're going to need them. Well, and it costs a little bit of money. You're probably not going to need it, but man, when you do, you're glad you have them. And I think the administration has been very slow on the uptick and underestimated the challenges that this the virus represents. But I am glad that they are recognizing it now and willing to start to mobilize all aspects of our country to confront it, because that's what we need to do.
One of, I guess, the glaring shortfalls right now is the lack of available tests for COVID-19. Is that something that's being addressed?
It is one of, if not the greatest catastrophe as part of our response. There has not been not only an adequate number of tests, but the response to creating an adequate number of tests has also failed. Is it being addressed? Yes. I spoke to one company that's based in Massachusetts yesterday that is hoping to ship 750,000 tests this week and a couple million more next week and ramp that production up. But let's be clear, we need millions of tests across this country as of weeks ago. And so is government helping to facilitate the production of more tests now? Yes. And that is good news. And we will finally get in front of this virus once we can ensure that everybody that needs a test is able to get one and we can start to contain its spread. But that's still weeks away. So we need to get these up and running as quick as we can. And then not only is it a question of do we have enough tests, but you also have to be able to collect. Those tests have to be administered. So you need the personnel to do that. They also have to be processed. And so you need the systems and the personnel to be able to do that. So we've still got some stresses here. It has been an area of bipartisan outrage. I've been in briefings with Democrats and Republicans where both sides have voiced their anger and frustration at administration personnel because the response has been unacceptable. And we're paying the price for it.
What do you think this current crisis, this pandemic, kind of reveals about the healthcare system in this country, as you see it? Where are some of the shortfalls? What needs to be addressed immediately, and then again in the long term?
I think this pandemic is going to be seen as a diagnostic die throughout our society as to where society works and where it is fractured and broken, and it's clearly showing that in a healthcare sector, which was not built to actually respond to this. It needs to be. It needs to be adjusted to ensure that we can, in fact, mass produce tests, that we can, in fact, that we have our supply chains that are tightened up, that we have the ability to create a large quantity of tests quickly and administer them. These things like drive-through testing that we've seen in places like South Korea, all of that needs to be addressed and adjusted. But it's also the larger fractures in our society, the drastic increase in gig workers. Well, if they're not covered by paid leave policies, if they don't have insurance, it's much harder to respond to a pandemic if people have to go out there and work, and even if they're sick and that disease continues to spread. It's much harder to ensure that you're going to be able to keep people healthy if they're food insecure and if they don't have a reliable place to sleep at night. It's much harder to ensure that this disease doesn't spread when you don't have adequate protections put in place for a homeless population or early child care centers. Well, thank God children seem to be more resilient with regards to this disease. Not everybody, but it doesn't seem to impact children as badly. It doesn't mean they can't carry it, which means they're going to turn around and infect the teachers of those child care centers or their parents when they get home. But our society at this point is built off of some of those folks that are stocking shelves at grocery stores or driving trucks to refill those grocery stores or people working at pharmacies. And we need people out there. And if they got young kids, someone needs to take care of the kid. So we have a society that is built off of a system of people that essentially are not able to take a break, are not able to care for their families, are not able to get access to the clarity and certainty that they need in times of crisis. And if that foundation is shaken, the rest of it comes down. And I think that's part of what you're seeing here with the coronavirus.
Yeah, and in addition, of course, to the health crisis, there's also an economic crisis that's smoldering. The president mentioned there's a recession likely later this year. The airlines are already looking for a $50 billion bailout. Is there anything on the federal level that the government can do to stem that?
So, yes, there is, and I just announced this morning a recovery package that I'll be focused on and trying to push through. Congress has already gotten voices of support from some of my colleagues in Washington, focus on three things. And the first is, before we start talking about bailouts to industry, we got to start talking about ensuring that American families have the financial security to survive. And that means direct cash payments to those families so that they can pay their rent, pay their mortgage, pay their car bill, make sure that they can keep their head above water, buy groceries, care for their families, get their prescription medication. And so I've come out with announced this morning for families earning less than $400,000, or excuse me, earning less than $100,000 a year, that they get $4,000 per person and $2,000 per child to ensure that the financial system stays up and stays liquid, and that there's actually that financial ability there for those families to be able to make ends meet. If you're making over $100,000 a year, you basically cut that in half, $2,000 per person, $1,000 per child. It also enhances unemployment insurance, extends it, and cuts down some of the bureaucratic backlog, and is a bump up to our Medicaid system to make sure that providers are getting the funds that they need in order to make sure that they're able to continue to treat folks. And I think before we start talking about billions of dollars to airlines or hotels or cruise ships or whatever else, let's make sure that American families, those companies' employees, are able to make ends meet and have the reassurance, the clarity and certainty that they need, so that they're not sitting here wondering, one, how you stay healthy or get healthy, and how do you provide for the financial survival of your family.
What's the likelihood of that making it through Congress and being approved by the administration?
So you're seeing a growing acknowledgement from folks actually across the aisle about the viability and importance at this point for this crisis for something like direct cash payments. Senator Romney has come out with an announcement or came out yesterday in favor of a package that isn't as robust as mine, but has still voiced support for some form of it. Senator Tom Cotton has come out in favor of something as well. A couple colleagues in the House, Democratic colleagues in the House, have voiced support for something similar. And I've talked to some colleagues, gone back and forth with some colleagues this morning that want to support the package that I announced. So I do think that there's an acknowledgement, given this crisis and the nature of this crisis, where you've got a lot of folks that are now out of work or could be out of work for a period of time, knowing that they need to be able to make ends meet. And the best way to do that, bailing out an airline industry doesn't mean that somebody working at a restaurant in Boston is able to pay their bills. Bailing out a cruise ship industry doesn't do that either. And bailing out hotels might mean the hotel industry doesn't collapse, and that's important. But we want to make sure that families don't collapse either. And so that has to be, this has to be part, a big piece of it.
Are you concerned at all about how this crisis will impact the Social Security Administration? Less people working means less money going into the system, could have long-term effects.
There's I think, an awful lot of concerns that we should have about a whole lot of aspects of our society at the moment, which is why the federal government's response is critical. We have to calm people's fears. You're seeing the impact of that anxiety ripple wildly through, ricochet wildly through our markets and our financial system. Mm-hmm. Calm people's fears. Let them know that we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this, because we will. That you're not going to face financial destitution because of it, because our government's going to step in and cover you. And that if that's the case, the economic dislocation here is going to be far more mild than it otherwise would be. And that's why we need to move aggressively and quickly. And take it from there.
I know that you're encouraging your supporters, Congressman, to donate to their local food pantries, emergency shelters, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. And we sent out an email last night to some of our supporters as well, highlighting some extraordinary local organizations that are going above and beyond at the moment to try to meet the need of citizens in our community. And look, this is a stressful time for a lot of folks. Finances are tight, but for those that can and are looking for a way to do something here, there's an awful lot of folks that are in great need, and so this is a great way to help out.
Sure. Anything else you'd like to add for folks?
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for giving me the chance.
No, our pleasure. Thank you for your time, and please call on us again if we can help.
Absolutely. Keep in touch, please.
Okay, thank you. Yep, bye-bye.